anybody know about the love of Jesus? Oh, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, does anybody know about the love of Jesus? Oh, I do. Yes, I do. Tonight. Oh, I do. Does anybody know about the love of Jesus? Oh, I do. Yes, I do. When I was searching, he saw me out.
Amen. Aren't you glad?
Answers took away my doubts. When I was struggling to find my way,
oh, yes. Amen.
I heard the sweetest song sent to me from the throne, a song of
Who in this building knows about the grace of God tonight? Amen. Amen. If you can't say amen to that, you need to recheck, reevaluate your life tonight. Amen. What grace, amen, he's bestowed upon us tonight. Shake somebody's hand. Amen. Tell them it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's just sing a little more of that this evening.
Jesus.
Oh, I do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Oh, does anybody know about the grace of Jesus? The grace of Jesus.
Oh, I do.
His power is my constant source of hope.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated this evening. You can be seated. We have quite a few requests. I want to remember William Johnson, admitted to the hospital for observation for another episode of lung complications. So we certainly want to remember Brother William there this evening. Also, Sister Deanna Glenn asked for prayer for her nephew. He's in need of a touch from God in his life tonight. So we certainly want to remember Sister Deanna's nephew. Also, please remember Chloe Martin, Sister Chloe, tonight. She's got a stomach virus in need of prayer. So we certainly want to remember her this evening in prayer. Pray for Brother Ed Yontz in ICU at Sycamore Shoals Hospital with pneumonia tonight. So we certainly want to lift him up before the Lord in prayer. Please remember Brother Homer Longoria's family. His granddaughter, Jennifer, one of her new little twin baby girls, passed away today. And they're just asked for the church to just please remember them in prayer. Amen. As they go through this time in their lives. Amen. Brother Samuel Scheffler turns in a request for his neighbors and their entire family, just under a lot of stress. Ask for prayer for them tonight. Brother Jim Hughes had requested prayer for his mother-in-law, Susan Gosnell. She's in the med center with complications from surgery, starting to develop pneumonia. Said, appreciate you all and God bless. Sister Janet Kennedy asked for prayer for Brother Andrew. He's still recovering from sickness tonight, so we certainly want to remember him in our prayers this evening. Also, want to remember Brother Orville. Has had a bad cold, not able to be in church tonight, so we certainly want to remember that need. Sister Evelyn Wiggins asked for prayer for her mom and dad, Bill and Marilyn, both in desperate need of healing from the Lord. Both had a lot of health problems going on, and so she just asked for them to be remembered in prayer this evening. Brother Randy Scott has wanted to thank the Lord for providing them the means to get a new computer to stream the services clear. Said the old one they had, the streaming was very blurry. So praise the Lord. He said they can now see all your smiling faces clear. So amen. We want to just thank the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Just if you don't mind staying on your feet tonight, Brother Terry, would you just come take these needs before the Lord for us in prayer? Amen. How many has a need upon your heart tonight?
You know, I'm still so glad we get to go to church tonight.
Amen.
I am. I just praise the Lord. Nothing's changed. It's still exciting. Just getting more exciting all the time as we get closer and closer and closer. Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful that we get to come one more time. We enjoy the freedom of this land, soon to be taken away, I'm sure, but we still are under that umbrella of grace, and we're thankful, Lord, so much for that. And Father, just thinking about that song, anybody know about the love of Jesus? We're so thankful, dear God, that we do know about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And love is corrective. And Lord, there's very few churches that really will show the correction. The judgment begins in the house of God. This is a house of correction. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can receive our correction and our judgment on this side, that we don't have to stand on that side and be judged. We're happy, Lord, to be here and to take our chastisement everywhere. We're not illegitimate, Lord, but we're sons and daughters of God, can stand the chastisement because you made us that way. We're happy to be here. We thank you for it. We thank you for the word, the ministry, Lord, the things the prophet said, the hard things, Lord, they're all for our maturity, and we so appreciate that. Now, these requests that I hold in my hand, they've been read, each one of them, especially Brother Ed Johnson down at Sycamore Shoals. He's got pneumonia. I pray that you would undertake in his behalf. I know my brother, he's up in age, Lord, but even at his age, dear God, what's pneumonia or heart condition or whatever it might be, Lord, if it be could be found in your will, Lord, to touch him and make him well and bring him out of there and restore his health to him, we pray. And each request that was read, the same thing we believe, Lord, is only one requirement, and that is, can we appropriate that faith? So we believe, Lord, there's faith in the building. Somebody's going to believe in behalf of each one. And Lord, as we pull on the gift of God tonight, speak to our hearts. Lord, let it be ever-present water from a rock. You speak to us through your servant tonight. Give us understanding. Give sense to the reading of the word. And Lord, when we leave the building, we say it's been good good to be in the house of God. Keep us safe, protect us, Lord, and may our hearts be on fire while we listen, and give us ammunition to be able to fight the enemy tomorrow, the next day, and on through the week, and until you come again. For we know that the Word of God will defeat the devil any place, any time, under any condition, and we're thankful for that. Lord, heal each one. Give grace, Lord, in the service tonight. We're happy to be here. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this little song tonight. He gets sweeter as the days go by. Amen. Before we sing that, let me make this quick announcement. Remember that Brother Seth and Sister Caitlin's wedding shower is Sunday, tomorrow at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Men and women both are welcome. So Brother Seth says, please buy everything big on their wedding registry. No, I'm just teasing. It doesn't say that, but amen, God. We just want to remember there's a lot of young couples getting married this year here at the church, and just want to remember each and every one of them in our prayers as well as they start that new journey in their lives. Amen. A lot of different things. You're no longer independent, no longer by yourself, and just get up and go whenever you want and do whatever you want. You got, you know, two minds and two thoughts. So just remember all the young couples that are engaged at our church this year to be married. Amen. Let's just sing that little song as the brothers would come receive the offering this evening. He gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, he gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer,
His love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing to Him I am going, and nevermore from Him to depart.
Oh, He gets sweeter.
Yes, He gets sweeter
as the days go by.
As the days go by.
Oh, He gets sweeter.
Yes, He gets sweeter
as the moments fly.
Amen. Amen. Let's try this song tonight, Jesus, Lamb of God. We get that put in the computer this evening. Let's try that little chorus, key of G.
Is that what we did, G, I think?
Yeah. Let's sing that this evening. Brother John Linichek has got a song for us tonight. If you come, Brother Joel Brown, amen, if you'd come as well. Amen, they're going to be singing for us tonight. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, cross my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
This evening. Give our singers a hand. Amen.
When I moved down to Brother Jason's, I got to sing. Wow, this is worse than a big church. And I think it's reversed. I am, it's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
God is good. Amen. Amen. I just love the Lord and all that He's done for me. And good to know that He's a life-changing God. He changes your life. And I believe every time we come to church, we should be changed in such a wonderful way. And I'm going to sing a song, and I'll just go ahead and apologize. I haven't practiced. Y'all forgive me. Law. Amen. But this song is birthed out of the revelation of this message by a dear friend of my wife and I. Some of you know her, Sister Brenda Lewis, who passed on just a few years ago. But she wrote hundreds of songs. Just a powerhouse of a lady. Just a wonderful, wonderful being in Jesus Christ. And I want to sing this, actually, for the young people. Just listen to the words. And if the old people are inspired by it, praise God. It can change a life. But in Numbers 33... Verse 53, it says, "And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it." Little by little is the name of the song. Be thou strong and very courageous. Dispossess the inhabitants of your land. I have given you this promise, and it's time to take a stand. You've got to drive out your enemy so your loved ones can go free. And little by little, you'll gain the victory. Little by little, You can win every battle, little by little. You can conquer every foe, and I'll set boundaries around you. They will stretch from sea to sea, and little by little, you'll gain the victory. You've got rights in the Holy Spirit. You've been given full authority in my name. There's no time left now for crying. It's a shame to complain. You've got to kick the devil off your mountain. You're predestined and ordained. Don't you know that you're a soldier in the army of the King? And little by little, you can win every battle. Little by little, you can conquer every foe. And I'll set boundaries around you. They will stretch from sea to sea, and little by little, I will prosper thee. You have truly, truly been commissioned by Jesus. He's the captain of the host. You're equipped to fight the battle, even though it is the Lord's. Prayer is a mighty weapon. The weakest Christian can take hold. Praying makes the demons tremble, but it puts God in control. And little by little, you can win every battle. Little by little, you can conquer every foe. And I'll set boundaries around you. They will stretch from sea to shining sea, and little by little, I will prosper thee. Oh, little by little, you can win every battle. And little by little, you can conquer every foe. And I'll set boundaries around you. They will stretch from sea to shining sea. And little by little, bit by bit, little by little, trial after trial, little by little, I will prosper thee.
Tonight, amen. Let's just sing this little chorus, amen, as we change the order of service. I give myself away. Amen. Give myself away. Amen. Just come tonight. I hope and trust you come expecting. Amen. If you come expecting, you will receive something. If you come with a cup, you'll receive a cup. If you come with a barrel, you'll receive a barrel full tonight. Amen. So we always want to come expecting. Believe and pull upon the gift tonight. Amen. Let the Lord speak to your hearts. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself away. So you
so you can use me. Oh, here I am. Jesus, so you can use me.
What an honor is that? In reality, what are we but a bunch of dirt bags? Worthless. You know what you was before you got saved? A hog. You was nothing but a pig. You don't believe that? You must be born again in 1961. He said, you was a pig. You was rotten, sorry, no count, no good. But he loved you so much. I'm just talking about the outside of you now. On the inside. Oh. On the inside. On the inside. Well, let's read about a wonderful miracle, shall we? Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1. You remember we prayed here Wednesday night after we'd preached for Brother Mike Price. He had been in Jamaica here, and he'd come over this way on this side of that box quite a ways, about 2 feet or more. Something happened to his shoulder, and they'd come in from Jamaica. Wasn't even able to move his suitcase, take his shirt off. He didn't know what in the world happened to his shoulder. But we had prayer for him here Wednesday night, as well as his church, of course, of others praying for him as well. I texted him Thursday morning and said he woke up Thursday morning healed. Now, you know what? It doesn't matter to me whose prayer did it. What matters is it was done. He wanted me to be sure and thank you for praying for him and our concern for him. I love to testify, don't you, about what our Lord is doing? I love to see his mighty display. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1. Now, we've read this these verses here for several services. And I don't want you to read it now with just a natural of something in your mind, but I want you to think a little bit deeper and know that it's a spiritual parallel. What we're going to read about right here in these first three verses is one of the greatest miracles in the universe. Greater than the universe itself. Now, I don't expect you to understand. Just stand there and look at me like you're looking. That's okay. But hopefully, whenever we get done, you won't look like that no more. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? Now, here is the miraculous part. My beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices. Now, what's miraculous about that? Nothing, as far as looking at it naturally. Just even if it was King Solomon going down to his garden to see the spices, the things that was there. But to look at it in a spiritual symbol, oh my. My beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. Here's an extension of the miraculous. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. You say, what's so great about that? This was a former hog. This is you and the tide. He couldn't even come close to you. You couldn't. There's no way you could even seek God. You say, I disagree with that. I sought God for years. No. You're deceived in thinking you sought God. A sinner cannot seek God. I'll let you think on that a bit, and I'll prove it to you. You are a miracle tonight, friends. If you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a miracle. Praise God. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reading of your word. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would take it now, dear God. Open to us the deeper concept, the meaning, Father, of what lays here. Thank you for this blessed book, O God, your Bible. We thank you, Lord, for every verse, every line. Lord, I pray that you'd make it real to our hearts tonight, Father. May the mysterious part of it become more simplified by the Spirit of God. You alone can take deep, dark mysteries and simplify them to our simple hearts and help us to understand. May the grace of God do so here tonight. We've gathered here, Lord Jesus, on this cool, wet, rainy Saturday night. But Lord, we've come here, Father, that we might not hear from a man. We've come that we might hear from heaven. And I believe tonight, Lord, if these people will be able to pull, I believe you've got something before us tonight that is heavenly for sure. Speak to us tonight, Father, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I know we talk about the new birth so much, and it's something that for those of us that it has happened to, it can be such a wonderful, phenomenal thing, and yet it can be something, if we're not careful, that'll be so common. We hear it spoke about so much in this day of those that are still left that are religious. The sad part about for many of them is many of them do not have a new birth, never will have a new birth. They are saved, but they are not born again. And there is, of course, a world of difference in that. And the reason is because of the perception of what people think that the new birth actually is. And taking to be saved or to enter into the first stages of salvation, when God begins a work in an individual's heart, it is a tremendous thing. But that's as far as we know as a lot of people ever go. They get saved, they get forgiveness of their sins, and they accept the Lord into their life as their Savior. But He never becomes into the position of Lordship. And many we know because of the concept of the carryover of the denominations, which is another reason why that we needed a prophet with a prophetic understanding to be able to take the cover off the Word. God didn't send Brother Branham to make our Bibles null and void, but He came to be able to make our Bibles more real than they ever were before. He did not send Brother Branham to replace our Bible. I don't know about you, I love my Bible now more than ever before. And I study from my Bible, and I read it, and I believe every word of it. Amen. And I think it's absolutely essential for us as the people of God to be married to the Word of God. But, you know, the part of it, I think, is the misunderstanding of the foundation of the principle of the new birth itself, by which people will take what they would be able to persuade, probably right here in this congregation tonight, no doubt of those that are streaming. If I would ask, what is your understanding of the new birth? How would you be able to explain it to me? What is it about you that must be born again? What is it about you that must die? Because most of you, no doubt, believe that some part of you must die and some part of you must be born again. So is it the same part? Is it the same part that dies and then somehow that same part is resurrected in what is called a new birth? Or is it a different part? Is it two different agencies come from two different sources? Oh, you know, and the more you talk about that, of course, it confuses the minds of some because tradition. But yeah, I don't believe that God wants it to be left in such a mysterious form. born that we cannot be able to understand it, much less be able to experience it as our own. Because truly, the born again are the ones that are going in the rapture. You know, this is why even in question and answer 64, they asked Brother Branham the question, will every born again believer go in the rapture? You know, and the answer to that question, it even stumbles message preachers to this day. I read a post the other day that a message preacher had posted about this answer, and he was just flabbergasted at the answer of Brother Branham. I thought, you poor blind Laodicean message preacher, and you're standing up behind a pulpit trying to lead people in the rapture. And Brother Branham, he answers the question and said, well, all born-again people go in the rapture. He said, no, only the elect of God. And this preacher posted this quote, and he said, this is totally contrary to Scripture. Now, this is a so-called message preacher. He said, this is totally contrary to Scripture. And I thought, no, it's totally contrary to your understanding of what you think the Scripture means. Now, what is it? It's nothing but the terminology of what people say whenever they say born again. And many will say, well, you know, I come and give my heart to the Lord. I heard a radio preacher on the radio and something struck my heart. And I give my heart to God. I opened up the desk in a motel as I was in a business trip. And I pulled out the top drawer, pulled out of Gideon's Bible. It fell open on John 3:16. Something smote my heart. I got down on my knees beside the bed. I felt something change me. Brother Donnie, don't you believe God did something for me? Not a shadow of a doubt in my mind that God probably did something for you. As I saw God do something just the other day in the VA hospital for a man, not a message believer, not a man that understand maybe what you and I would do, but the Spirit of God come right down the intensive care unit there and began a work in this man's heart. Will God do it anywhere? Anywhere people will meet Him, He'll do it right there. Now, does that mean everybody then that is saved will come into the same understanding as far as the pyramid revelation of God and to be the part of the bride? Of course not. But we've learned enough to know that there will be many, many people that will be outside the city which will never make up the elect of God. Is that right? I believe by God's grace that we will be part of those living inside the city, don't you? I believe I will be there. I hope you believe the same thing. But yet we've become mature enough to know that in our early days of the message, we pretty much put everybody else out except Malachi for believers. But it's a sign that we are maturing and we're growing up because we're getting more grace and we're getting more understanding and allow that the grace of God will go also out of the Lamb's Book of Life over into the Book of Life, and there will be many, many people saved that never heard anything about this message. Now, I did say saved. But to be born again, now you enter into a different phase of the soul. You enter into a different phase of the human being. Keep in mind that you are spirit, soul, and body. In the beginning, you should have been attribute, theophany, glorified body. The fall in the length of time and the block of time brought you out of this cycle of the perfection of God. So it brought you from the gene of God, the theophany of God, glorified body from God. Then you drop down into time, then you become a mortal, which is the only visible part about you that we'll ever see. But you also receive a soul. Now that soul is the nature of your spirit. That's what you are whenever you are born a human being. You don't have to be taught how to lie, to be corrupt, to be rotten, because you are actually born in sin. You're conceived in iniquity, born in sin, and you come to this world a liar. A hog, a dog, whatever more you want to call yourself, that's what you was. But now, there was another part in you if you are the elect of God. Now, this is where we get to the supernatural part, to where God can actually come down into the heart of an individual and be able to make Himself known. Oh my, didn't Brother Matt just beautifully bring it out last week about a greater than the temple? And to realize, oh, you know, whenever he opened up that picture and showed the temple coming down and then showed Christ hopping at 33, I thought I was going to leave this place. But you realize, it comes on down. It did not stop with that, because where the temple of God is now, it's not even this building here. But it is the mystical body of Jesus Christ by which we are placed in by spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. We don't get there by listening to tapes. We don't get there by going to church. We get there by being born again.
Now, many people actually bring the new birth from this standpoint, in that the old nature actually becomes rejuvenated or reborn. And this is their perception of the new birth, that there is an old part of you that actually comes to God, and you surrender that old part to God, and then God rebirths that old part. Now, that sounds really good, but it is really, really wrong. Now, that truly is a conception carried over from the church ages. It's sad how many message folks believe it that way. And that is their understanding of redemption, thinking that it is the old man or the old nature that actually gets rejuvenated or regenerated, as it was. But when you look at it in the eyes of Scripture and in the eyes of the understanding of Malachi 4, then it brings us into a total different perspective than the denominational view. Now, remember in the Reformation, when the light barely began to show, under Luther's day, they were just beginning to embrace justification by faith, so there's no way they could understand sanctification or the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, or to even mention the gene, the predestinate seed of God, that there's no way they could even comprehend such, because it was not the time. But initially, in the embarkment of the New Testament church, there was this understanding given under the lion anointing before the white horse rider started conquering and to conquer. And that was when the anointing of the Lamb himself began to reveal the revelation of these great things in the beginning of the first church age, which was under the auspices of the Spirit of God, bringing forth under a prophetic anointing under Paul. Now there it was, the Lion of Judah himself. So if he wants to set it straight forward, he will begin this himself. So he truly has the understanding of the new birth. Now the new birth, of course, the doctrine begins in St. John when the Lord Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and brings to him the very illustrious, illusionary, imaginary, to the minds of some, doctrine of the new birth, that a person must be born again. Nicodemus hears and he says, can a man enter into his second time into his mother's womb? Now he looks at it from a more natural perspective or a standpoint of the body being reborn. And he said, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus, of course, he comes and he takes it now from that form, and he brings it from the natural form of the flesh being reborn, and he takes it into the form of the spiritual or the mysterious. And Jesus, in one sense, makes it more mysterious, because he said, as the wind blows, and here it comes, and it blows this way and goes that way, and you don't know where it comes or you don't know where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Now you imagine Nicodemus sitting there, and it was the evening time, of course, when he came. It was after dark, so the cool breeze began to blow from the Mediterranean. And it was blowing as it would come through the eastern side of the camp, where they would have been sitting there over the top of the wadis and down through the hills. So as it began to cool down, the temperature and the thermals would rise, and the desert would begin to cool, then the thermals from the mountains would come up, and it would project the winds, and they would come over the top of these hills, and then they'd start down the valleys. And you imagine, here they are, because up on the mountain itself would have been very cool. But they're sitting maybe low down in a wadi or something like that, and as the wind began to blow over through there, and Jesus selected this particular time, and he said, as the wind blows, and you don't know where it comes or where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And you imagine, as it coincided exactly with the wind as it blew down off of the top by the thermal coming down from the mountain, blow down through the wadi, and begin to come over through the shade of where they were sitting under the tent. And your sets Nicodemus just kind of looking around and feeling the wind as it goes by his face. Now it was invisible. It was totally invisible, yet he felt the effects. Could we say he felt the wind? Yes and no, because he did feel it in one way, but yet it was something you could not see. He could not reach out and touch it, yet he did feel it. He didn't know where it come from. He did not know where it went. And Jesus said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So that gives a birth or a synchronization to the seed of God in the same way as the wind, which is what? You don't know exactly where they come, and you don't know where they're exactly going. Now, this is the stage of the perception of the new birth when it's first allocated, when it opens up. But as it comes to the end, to when the new birth is clearly going to be more fully understood, it. Then the concept of the wind itself, not knowing where we come from or where we're going, is going to become a little more illuminated, because we're going to actually understand where we come from and where we are going. Now, this is a tremendous way to start it out, of course, because it's a very illuminating type of thing. It's illusionary. It's mystical. You know, they don't understand it. So Jesus chooses to word it this way. Now, in looking at what the old nature actually is, each of us are born with that ever baby that we stand and dedicate here, and we offer them to the Lord, and we will make prayer over them. Yet every one of them are born in sin. And if they live long enough to come to the age of accountability, they will have to repent. If they were to die before they would come to the age of knowing right or wrong, the blood of the Lord Jesus atones for the child. Thank God for that. But yet, if they live long enough to come to that spot, then they will have to be able to repent and come to God. Because each of them are born in sin. And they are born married to the first husband, which is the old nature that they were born with. Now, this old nature or this first husband does not come by free moral agency. Well, hallelujah. Your first husband, you didn't get married to him by free moral agency. You got married to him because somebody else chose it for you. You'll agree with that. How many of you chose to be a sinner? Then please tell me, how do you figure you can choose eternal life if you didn't choose to be lost? I mean, eternal life is based more on your choice than being born dead. Oh my. Well, hallelujah. I got you to think of it. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Our old man is crucified with him. Now, Paul's speaking, of course, about our old man being crucified with Christ Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, by the old man is the corruption of the old nature. So it is called a man because it flows through your mortality. Now, remember, in one sense of the word, your body is totally neutral. It is an instrument which can be used either way, for light or darkness, for truth or error, just like this microphone. This is not a Holy Ghost-filled message microphone. Now, whenever we order microphones and speakers and PA equipment and all of that, we don't get onto a website, to a Holy Ghost-filled message equipment website, and order a Holy Ghost-filled screen and a Holy Ghost-filled guitar and a Holy Ghost-filled JBL monitor and a Holy Ghost-filled microphone. But we find a particular model that we like, and they will order it. Now, that might go to a country music place. It might go to a Church of Christ. It might go to a Baptist, because they do not make any such thing as a Holy Ghost-filled microphone. Neither are there any human beings that are born in this earth Holy Ghost feel. They're all born lost. That's right. They're born lost, and they need a Savior, and they need to be redeemed. And this is why the new birth is such a miracle. Now, then we are born, every one of us, elect included, are born with what is identified as the old man. Now, this old man so dominates the neutrality of our mortal body that our mortal body, once we become old enough to know right from wrong, then naturally we will lean toward the wrong. Why? Because the old man, which has now captured us, he's the one in charge. He takes the neutrality of our body and goes to subjecting that neutrality and brings that body in subjection to that man that lives on the outside. Now, some of y'all was never motorcycle people. Some of y'all was never, you know, you'd never have a big old cigar in your mouth about that long. But no matter what your taste of sin was, every one of us had some sort of taste for sin. Now, some of you never drank. Some of you was dope heads. And some of you on the street dope. You was pharmacy prescription med dope heads. But no matter what your taste for sin was, every one of us had a taste and a desire for sin. And let me just bring it on down. If you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, you still got it. That's right. No matter how many years you've been in church now. So Paul identifies this as the old man. Now this old man then is not actually savable. Uh-oh. This old man is not savable. There's only one thing he's fit for. Killable. Amen. Now, so Paul identifies and actually uses these words as an old man because he actually lives as a person. So it is the personification of sin that takes up the neutrality of our body, and our body is neutral. That's why until we get the Holy Ghost, our body still remains in that status. Now, our flesh is no more saved tonight than it was when you got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. That's why you've got to bring this body subject every day of your life. You can't trust your body a bit more today than when you first got saved, because your flesh ain't a bit more saved tonight than it was when you first got saved. But it still remains in that spot to where it can be affected either negatively or positively by God or by Satan, because that remains in the status of a neutral place. The new birth does not change the neutrality of our mortal body. If it did, then we would never have any more trouble. There'd never be any more lies being told among us. Nobody in Happy Valley would gossip. Lord God, what a miracle. What a miracle. But until that blessed day arrives, every one of us living in this house can allow it now by the new man, which is now subjugated, the neutrality of the body under a new master. But does it want to obey? Oh no, no, because it still was born in sin. It still leans more toward this other way. Well, I'm going to preach with or without it, y'all. It just looks better in heaven if y'all say amen. Now, in this expression is the personification of the corrupt nature that we are all born with. Now, notice this, the pains of crucifixion that Paul uses to symbolize this. Of course, he takes it from the natural sense. And them seeing many, many people crucified in this day, and many more were going to be crucified on up for several hundred years. And he would run the parallel of the old man being crucified as if they would have walked by a highway of that day and would have seen men that was criminals hanging up and being crucified. To mention this to a first century Christian, it would have been horrific. To us, you know, not so much, because we're not that familiar with it. Hollywood has dramatized it for us. But for these people to have heard about the old man actually being crucified with Christ, immediately their mind would have went back, whenever they was a child maybe, the first time they saw somebody being crucified. And you know, the Romans would crucify them on the main highway or the main street. And they did that for a public symbol, because they wanted everybody to know, if you break Roman law, this can happen to you. So they did not do it in the back behind an alley somewhere. They did it in public so everybody could hear the screams, everybody could see the blood, everybody could see the flies blowing the body, so people could see the dogs as they'd come up and tear the strips of meat off of their legs, the buzzards come up and pluck your eyeballs out. They wanted you to see that. So when Paul would have mentioned about the old man being crucified in that first century, this is part of the imagery that the children of God would have seen. And it would have been such an identification, unlike the concept of the new birth today. So the new birth today is simply a person sitting in a pew. The preacher tells them, you're lost, you're going to hell. God loves you, he wants to save you. Anybody here today want to be saved, want eternal life? Well, people raise their hand. You've got it, you've got it, you've got it, you've got it, you've got it. Then they walk in lost, and they walk out according to that. They've got eternal life, they've got eternal security. They don't have to quit drinking, don't have to quit smoking, don't have to quit listening to rock and roll. They don't have to quit drugs. They don't have to get rid of their makeup. They don't have to quit doing anything, basically. But now they just believe. There was an unbeliever when they come in, but now they're a believer when they walk out. But they don't see no change in them. So now instead of going to church twice a year, they go five times a year. So now they're a Christian. And now, you know, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a believer. Well, how do you know? Well, I gave my heart to God. The preacher said, if you do it, then you have eternal life. So I received eternal life. It's always mine. Always will be. What I do don't matter. The way I dress don't matter. The way I look don't matter. And don't tell me I ain't got eternal life because I have. Praise the Lord. But to the first century Christian, when they would have heard about the old man dying, they would have thought suffering, punishment, pain, torture. We don't want to torture Christianity in this day. My goodness, if folks come to church today and the preacher preaches a little bit hard and they just get a T90 scratch, Oh God, I'm dying. It's a good thing you don't come here. You'd never make it through the first 15 minutes. Aren't you glad you can take correction? Now watch, Paul said, knowing this, that our old man, notice, possessive, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now notice, one stage has happened, one stage is in the future. The old man has been, past tense already done, has been crucified, but that the body of sin might be. It's not happened yet. And the saints said, one of them has already happened and one of them is still on the way or still in the making. Guess what, friends? You're still in this body of sin. Well, don't take my word for it. Question answer 64. Notice we cannot receive the promised son that's promised us today in these bodies that we live in. These bodies are sin. That's why you can't trust you. Oh, I know you're like me. You love you. I love me. And I am my greatest enemy. Just like you are yours. It ain't your wife, it ain't your brother, it ain't me, it's you. You are your greatest enemy. You say, I fight, your brother Tony, I war against that thing. Why in the world do I war this right here? You're still in a body of sin. I realize there's a few message folks that think they're beyond this. As a matter of fact, I know a couple of preachers that said they don't have a black dog. But all I can say is if their black dog was any meaner than their white one, I'm glad they don't have one. Anyway, now, let's go on. The first concert controls this body with see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It's just got us all scrupled up. We reason and everything else, but that new body. Now listen, listen where it comes from. That new body that comes from this born again. Do you understand? Your new body actually comes from your born again experience. Not this first conscience. It'll pass away. It's that inside something live. Everybody understand it? Say, it's not this outside, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It isn't. It's subject to death and will die. But the inside part of you down in here inside, that is the person that cannot die. And that's the person that the new life starts from. From this new birth. Glory be to God. Your new life starts from this new birth and interconnects you universally into your soul, into your theophany, into your glorified body. All connect from the focal point of your new birth. Now notice how he explains this. The person that's the new life starts from this new birth. And it builds. Another person in the image of this person that you are around that life. So there's another person that's going to be built in the image of what you are between 18 and 20, but it's not built around DNA of Don and Betty Reagan. It's not built around the DNA of your mother and father. It's built around that new birth, the life inside your soul. Praise God. You're talking about a miracle. The new life starts from this new birth, from this new birth. And it builds another person. It builds another person in the image of this person that you are around that life. Oh, glory to God. So it builds another person around that life. Can I go on? So potentially, it's in here. And what is it? The word promised before the foundation of the world. So it's not the old man then that come up to the altar. They don't know God. God, I pray you, God. No. It's the word. It's built around the word that God placed in you. The word promised before the foundation of the world. And around there, this only reflects the negative. And that will reflect the positive. The word. See, same thing is the translation of the bride. Now they ask him, they're asking him the question, please explain the translation of the bride. I just read to you the answer of the translation of the bride. Praise God. See, the same thing is, or the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body, Lord, children, the body will materialize around that word. The same thing it did by Sarah. The body will materialize around that word. What word? His word. It's not your old man that God picks him up and washes him off. Well, I can't do much with it. You hog, you sorry low down outfit. You're a Reagan, you're a Parker, you're a Yonsher, this and that and the other. I'll see what I can do with you. It ain't nothing like that. But that old man dies and God reaches down inside of there and gets that little genetic of Almighty God, that little gene deposit, and God burst that by the very breath of Elohim, hallelujah, and God starts you on your journey to a body change. And it comes from where? That word that was in you, not placed by your mama, not placed by a preacher. Your new body in the rapture will materialize around your seed gene. Do you understand what will happen for those of us that are alive? Our theophany will be loosed from the sixth dimension from under the altar. It'll come down and we will take the redeemed body to meet the theophany. This body, when the quickening power comes on the earth, will start materializing around your new birth. This body right here will start materializing. It'll be the Creator doing the same work of creation. Yes. Praise be to God. Notice this in the last part of this verse. Verse 6, Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Do Christians make mistakes? Do Christians do wrong? But Christians that are filled with the Holy Ghost are not, emphatically, are not the servants of sin. We say sin rules my life. And friend, I hate to tell you, break you the bad news to you, but you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Or you'll make mistakes, sure, you'll repent, you will all the time, because the neutrality of this body is able to be affected by the demons, and there ain't never been an age quite like the age you and I are living in. We are bombarded with stress every day. We are bombarded with pressure every day, and sin every day, and unbelief all around us everywhere. And God let it come to this stage, so out of this stage, He would look at the devil and say, look at what you've done. You have made it the worst age it's ever been, but out of this age, I have produced a bride. Out of all your unbelief, out of all your lies, out of all your skeptics, I have produced a bride that still believes my word, every word of it. You could not make her doubt Satan. You could not make her question. Hallelujah. The sense is that Paul, now with the old man dead, bringing it to the saints of God and to us, that we are no longer the slaves of sin. Now we know that's controlled by laws. If you don't feed it, you get weak, you get in trouble. You stay out of church, you get in trouble. Don't read your Bible, don't pray, come on saints, you get in trouble. Oh, I can do anything I want to do. You get in trouble. You see, sin was personified again as the master over a dominion. And the dominion was subjugating our mortality. See, taste, feel, smell, hear, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And those absolutely, by even the soul, before we were born again, all of us was subjugated to sin. And the man who ruled it was our old man, our first husband. And it was a shotgun wedding. You was led down the aisle, not willingly. That's right. Notice now Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12. Amen. Let not sin therefore reign. Now notice this. He is speaking to a master which has the ability to subjugate the neutrality of the body. Listen how he says it. Let not sin therefore reign in your, not your soul. It can't. You're born again. But he's, well, who's this to? He's speaking to soul people. He's speaking to the spiritual genetics of God, telling the DNA of God, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Why? Because death has already subjugated the old man, and sin will never be the master again of the soul. You're done passed away. But the neutrality of the body is still there, and the battle can still rage. And Paul tells him, look, do not allow sin to reign, which is basileo. To be king. So you imagine you've got the Holy Ghost, you're born again, but you feed on the carnal things. You don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you don't listen to the tapes, you come to church whenever you want to and whatever more, and you become carnal and loose. You say, a Holy Ghost filled person can become that way? They sure can. It's a fire, you gotta keep it stoked up. You gotta keep it burning. And if not, you will find yourself doing little things or saying little things or losing your desire to come to church or losing your desire to do what you know is right, and yet still a person that loves God with all of your what? Because sin is trying to take over the neutrality of your body. He is trying to reign where? In your mortal body. Notice how he separates you from your. Let not sin therefore reign in your. So he's speaking to you as the master and telling you to not let sin reign in your body. Why don't he say you body? Because it ain't you body. It's your body. Which separates, which means possessive. Well, if somebody owns this body, who is it? Me. Notice this. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Oh my goodness. Nobody needs to raise your hand now. How many still fights lust? It's okay. That's all right. Just keep your hands up. I ain't talking about lust for men and women necessarily. Lust for power, lust for money, lust for all kinds of things. Well, if you fight that, where do you feel it from? You ain't going to tell me you feel it from your soul if you got the Holy Ghost. Can the body still lust for something that is not yours? What's the word lust mean? Longing for something which is not yours. It can be your brother's BMW. Your sister-in-law's Cadillac. It can be their house. It can be their job. It can be their status. It can even be a position in church that you lust for, a position in church that maybe you're not qualified to have. Oh my goodness. I better not preach that way. That's for Wednesday night Christians here at Happy Valley. I have to preach two different kinds of sermons here at Happy Valley. I've got to preach for the Sunday morning folks, and then I've got to preach for the regular ones on Wednesday night. And Saturday night falls in between somehow. Notice that. Let not sin there reign for in your mortal body that ye are separating ye from your. And ye ain't the cause, but he is. That ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, if God were to give my body the Holy Ghost, oh my goodness, happy day, happy day. If he would have given your body the Holy Ghost and sealed your body the way our soul was sealed by the gene, boy, wouldn't it have been something? Them's millennium days, brother. But he rejuvenated us, saved us, sanctified us, filled us with the Holy Ghost, a new creation, and left us in the same old garbage dump. In case some of you all don't know it, I hate to tell you, but a bunch of you all are really getting old. I don't know what's going on with y'all. It must be the water you're drinking or something, but a lot of y'all are really getting old. I mean, I hate to tell you, but I figured I might as well go ahead and tell you. Some of y'all are getting feeble. Some of y'all are more sick than you're well these days. You ain't going to tell me that's got the Holy Ghost. Notice in verse 13, neither yield ye your. Ye and your. But notice the control. Neither yield ye your. Notice who's in control here. If you will allow him to be controlled, the new man, the ye is the new man. The your is still the neutrality of the body. And that's why if a woman walks in front of you, brothers, dressed improper in this day, which is every day you live, nearly, you look around, what is it? Something inside of you. Turn your head. Don't look that way. Don't do that. Don't go to this website. Don't do that. What? The ye inside of you is wanting to bring your body subject to the word. But the ye out here wants to move on your body and pull you out from under the word to make ye feel bad for what ye did. Ye all ever feel bad for something ye all do? Really? Well, why do ye all do that? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield, oh glory, yield yourselves unto God. So notice this. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. So you go outside after service, you start your vehicle, you pull it down and drive, you have an automatic transmission. If it's a 3-speed, 4-speed, 5, 6, whatever it is, automatically. When the RPMs of your car, set by Ford, Chevrolet, GM, Dodge, whoever it is, when it comes up to a certain RPM, your automatic transmission will go from first to second to third to fourth to whatever more. And the higher speeds in the transmission, the higher gear ratio in the rear end, and it gives you better gas mileage. And what is it? Why do we call it that? An automatic. What do we call the other? A manual shift. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're manual shifts. Raking them gears. Anybody here learn how to drive on a straight shift? How old are y'all? You notice most of these young people, they're just looking around right now. They're stargazing. They don't even know what a straight shift is. They're just thinking, oh my, that might have been that vehicle that come off of Noah's Ark. No, it ain't been that many years ago, actually. So you go downstairs and you learn how to drive a thing, and daddy's telling you, and mama's screaming at you, one, push the clutch in, you knucklehead. Oh, is that what that is? Put the clutch in, push it in. Amen. Your mom and daddy sent over sweating bullets on the other side. Lord have mercy. Get me through this, God. Then you go up to second gear. Well, you don't know. You're just learning how to drive. And you go up to there, and the wrench and the engine's getting tighter and tighter because the RPM. All right, it's time to change again. So you push in the clutch. Now let off the gas. Push in the clutch and pull it down. What do you mean pull it down? Pull it down. There ain't nothing up, but how do you know where to pull it down? You have to know. That's the way a lot of folks try to live a Christian life. Oh, glory to God. I believe I've got the Holy Ghost. I believe I'm trying to live out. Oh, God. And they labor and they labor and they labor. They kill them, their wife, the pastor, 47 deacons to boot. Trying to be a Christian. What are they trying to reach? Third gear. The third pull. The ceiling of the soul. And they rake the gears and they don't know how far to go in second. They don't know how far to go in third. And then they're trying to do it and they're trying their best and they don't know what to do. Versus somebody who gets in. Boom. As in deity. And when you get deity in there, and then you start out here in the parking lot and you risk your life pulling out of here every time you pull out in this parking lot, and you finally get out and you make a left or right, whichever way you go, and you make it down through there, and your car will get fastened up by the RPMs and the torque of the automatic transmission, and you'll go down through that 20 miles an hour, in the second, on and on and on. Then you go down the four lane by, you might get up to fifth or sixth. You haven't moved the gear shift. You have not labored. You have not more than likely paid one bit attention to the tachometer, which shows the RPM. Most of you probably don't have one in your car because you don't even need it no more, because the automatic transmission, glory to God, does the changes. And my brother, sister, when that old man dies and the new man is born inside and you pull it down in D, he don't eliminate all your trouble, he don't eliminate all your trials, but he helps you when you get under trouble and when you get under stress. An automatic transmission gears down when it feels the load, it gears up when it feels the release. Why? Because it's automatic drive. In our automatic transmission is rapture power. It's not a struggle. Oh, I've got to hurry. I've got to get ready for, oh, mama. You just pull it over in D. What do you want for lunch? Which drive-thru you want for today? Sunday dinner, honey. That's what me and Carol do on Sunday. Can I drive a straight shift? I can. I've built tractors and trailers and big trucks. I can. I can. I don't like it. But I can. I can struggle and strain and try to be whatever you think I'm supposed to be, or I think I'm supposed to be. Or I can just put it in drive and say, Jesus, live out of me. Speak out of me. Walk out of me. Hallelujah, Brother West. Now, I hope you understand what the direction I'm fixing to go. Actually, when you were a sinner, you had an automatic transmission. You got up on Monday morning, you pulled him down in D, which meant drunk. And you was going to get drunk or you had a hangover from the night before. And you just let have at it. I mean, you just enjoyed being a sinner. You just done whatever. You know what you're doing? You're operating by an automatic demon-possessed transmission. This is why folks struggle when they come to the Lord, because then they change transmissions. What in the world am I doing on transmission? Then they enter in and they try to be a Christian from their old spirit. They tried to live a word life from this old man trying to motivate them, and it's all straight shift all the way. And they labor to go to church. They labor to quit this, and they think, it's just too hard. Where's this peace they're talking about? Where's this joy they're talking about? The only thing I've known has just been struggle and difficulty. Brother, you need to change your transmission. Now, when I used to be on the road years and years ago, at that time I drove mainly a Ford van. And whenever I would get a lot of miles on a vehicle and I'd get ready to change it, I would get a Ford, because I knew how to work on them, and I would take the differential, the hog's head, the rear stump out of it, and I would change the gear ratio in that. Now, I did that for a reason. Now, if you do it that way, you got to know what you're doing or you'll mess up your power. But I wasn't interested in towing a boat or towing a trailer so much, but I wanted the better, you know, the better gas mileage. So I would pull that rear end out, and I would pull in a higher ratio rear end. So I would take the wheels off, the tires off, the axles off, pull it out, pull the stump out, take the hog's head out of it, and then put another high gear ratio in it. Now, when that would do, I would get out on the road, and I would start driving. It would increase my gas mileage 4 or 5 miles. But it also meant my speedometer was wrong. Because my speedometer had been calibrated for Pentecost. For a Ford from the factory. And then whenever I put that transmission in there, them boys of them blue lights really had a hard time understanding when you go to explain about your stunt differential. So, you know what? Amen. I believe my differential has been changed for this end time, because I'm not going to need a tribulation anointing. I'm not going to need an ox anointing. I'm not going to need a man anointing. I need a flying anointing. So I need anointing that's going to pulsate me out of here and get me out of this world. So sometimes I scare my brothers to death. So you labor. We're going to church this morning. Oh, I don't know. We've had such an awful time since we started going to church. Praise the Lord. I was telling Brother J.D. before church, have you ever noticed how many people get sick on Saturdays? Have you ever noticed how many problems come up on weekdays and Sunday? If you don't even have to go by the scripture for church to be showed the value to you from the determination of hell. Amen. Look how church day, when it comes, everything in the world will try to stop you. And it does a lot of people, because the value of church, Satan values church a lot more than we do sometimes, I'm afraid. And people that straight shift. Change gears. You're going to blow that thing up. You mean I got to give up my hair, my makeup? We're going to rake the gears on that makeup. I was going into second sanctification. You see, friends, the majority of the church is still in first gear. They're just saved. The majority of them has never moved. Even a lot of the Pentecostals have lost their sanctification, so they went from second back down to first. But they're not even climbing a hill yet. Praise God. Well, notice in verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free. You hear these folks talking about leaving the message and how free they are. I don't doubt that at all. They're free from righteousness. Oh, I don't have to do nothing. I'll tell you one thing. What did they done? Satan changed the transmission on them. They went from an automatic in the world. They went right back to an automatic in the sinful world, anointed with the religious demons. Living in this message, it ain't no wonder that many of them struggled and struggled and struggled. They had a straight shift transmission. And they're trying to live a God. And, oh, I just can't do it. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to go. I'll tell you one thing. I'm out of my mind. I'm back. And then they backside and go back to the world and say, oh, this feels so much better. What do you want to eat? Oh, you can't believe how much more I enjoy church. I mean, now I'm going over to this cruisy church. They cruise in and cruise out. They don't preach on you. They don't look you in the eyeball. They don't rebuke you. They don't get on you for sin. Brother Donnie made me so nervous. I'll tell you one thing, it scared me to death. But he looks sometimes. Brother Tracy used to always say, I look like a lion. My wife told me the same thing. That now she said, you look just like a lion. I said, thanks. I said, well, at least it wasn't L-Y-I-N-G. So they go to some other church and say, oh, oh my goodness, this is me. Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus loves you. Yes. Oh, he takes you as you are. Yes, yes. You don't have to quit anything. Yes, yes. Change my transmission. Change it. Oh. Oh, wife, don't you enjoy this? Ain't this so much easier than going to Happy Valley? Yep. Yeah, it is. Until the rapture. And then the first Sunday after the rapture, you go to your charismatic church, and there's you and your pastor and all the rest of the church. But you hear your mama, which still goes to a message church, come up missing. Your daddy. And that preacher that you didn't like. Amen. And then it hits you. You have been left behind. Then, my friend, it won't be so easy. The folks that have left this message and ridiculing this prophet, you know the amazing thing about it is, even though they say they're away from it, they can't get away from it. They still refer to Brother Branham. Now they quote him more than they did when they was in it. But now they're trying to find mistakes. Think of it. They say they've left it. Have they really? They can't go by in their life without them talking about it, posting something on Facebook, coming up with new websites. They can't live without this message. They've been out yonder in the world, out there in the church, and now they say they're away from it. We can and will move on without them, but they have been so affected by this word, they'll never get away from it, Aaron. I don't care where they go, what they do, they'll quote it, they'll refer back to it, and the sad part about it is, as I shared some quotes today with some of my minister friends, the prophet of God said, my voice will haunt you through the ceaseless ages. He said, when you're on your deathbed dying, my voice will come back and haunt you. And when you are in the regions of the lost, you will hear my voice. Can you imagine these folks that have pulled away from this word and they hate this message? They hate this prophet. They hate you. They hate our church. And yet it will be the voice of that same prophet they despise that will haunt them in the regions of the lost. They'll hear, is your life worthy of the gospel? They'll hear souls that are in prison. They'll hear that prophet's voice for thousands or maybe millions of years. But while they're hearing that haunting voice, you and I will be with Him for eternity, with the Lord Jesus and the rest of the saints of God. Oh my. Oh my. Can I have a few more minutes? For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? So look at the fruit you had then, and now you look back at it, you're ashamed of what you've done. For the end of those things is death. But now, glory, being made free from sin. Now look at this. This is not that you'll not make a mistake anymore. Not that you won't need to make things right anymore. You're free from the mastery of sin. Sin is not your master. He is not your king dominating, controlling your life. You are free from the mastery. Oh. Let's stand. Praise be to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Not the old nature got saved, he died. And have put on the new man, which is renewed. Glory to God. Notice what happens to the new man. He's renewed in the image, after the image of Him that created him. The new man gets a renewal of imagery. What? The seed in you is quickened to know where it comes from. Not the old nature. Oh, I'll try to quit drinking. I'll try to be a good boy. I'll try to quit lusting and lying. God said, I don't even want you. Only thing I want from you is die. And let me start a new birth from that seed that I deposited. And I'll bring that seed to a place of recognition where it will recognize. But Brother Donnie, you said we were lost. You were. Your seed was lost in you. Jesus gives us this parable in Luke 16 of the prodigal son. Remember the coins and the woman looking for the coins. Remember the sheep. This is a prodigal. This is the parable of redemption to the elect. The sheep was already his. Look at the coins when the woman lost the coins. The coins come from the mint with the image of the king already stamped on it before it was ever lost. Amen. Follow Jesus. If you don't teach it that way, you're not teaching it the way Jesus taught it. Amen. It come from the mint with the image of the king on it. It was already the king's piece before she lost it. When she lost it, it had the image of the king on it. Amen. Whenever she found it, the image didn't come on it. She only found where it was laying with the image already on it. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So the coin was found down in your soul. With a stamped image of the king on it. So when the prodigal son was in the pig pen, was he a pig or a son? What? Oh, you mean to tell me he hadn't been transformed to a hog? Now you don't. Don't you tell me you believe that was a son. What? And what did his father say? Kill the fatted calf for my son, which was lost. lost what? Out of the Father's presence. You never will or never shall be eternally lost. But skip, you're only lost temporarily. But He knows where to find you. Praise be to God. Oh, glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we'll pick it up in the morning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are. So you refresh my memory. What is it we say when people die? So how's your brother doing? He passed. And we say, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize he passed. That's what happened to your old man. He passed. Glory. Which left you unmarried. Jesus wouldn't court you with a living husband. Come on now. But once your old man passed, and he actually allowed another thing to happen, he quickens you on the altar of God, the real you, which was never married to the old man in the first place. Oh, so I'm so forgiven. I'm so forgiven. Are you really just forgiven? That's not the understanding of justification, my friends. The understanding of justification after the opening of the seven seals is not what Luther preached. It's what Luther preached plus. You wasn't forgiven. You never did it in the first place. Praise God. Oh, what a miracle as we stand here tonight. Hogs, children of wrath, even as others by nature. Lost, blind. Brother Tony, how can you say that and preach predestination? I can't see it any other way. You weren't born saved. Your mama didn't give you predestinated seeds. Your daddy can't. It don't come that way. It comes by God. But you're still born lost. You still needed a Savior. But you wasn't a hog changed to a sheep. That's denominational conception. You was a sheep smothered by hogs. You was a sheep smothered by hog nature. Glory to God. Oh, don't you love Him? Now that we're born again and the old man has passed, now we can come into His garden. We'll get to it in a bit. As we move on in chapter 7. When they move from this place of the wedding ceremony, which is where they still are for several days now, she begins to tell him, come, let's go out in the woods. Let's go out and take our fill of love. I know you don't understand what it is, but I'm going to give you a preview. She's asking him to go with her on the honeymoon. And she wants him to leave the castle and go out into the woods, out into the trees. What is it? Feast of Tabernacles. She's calling for the millennium. Praise be to God. Where's our millennium? Where's our honeymoon going to be? The millennium. So she says, come. Come, let's go out into the woods and let's go. Oh my, you wait. Oh my goodness. I've been, poor old dumb devil. I got vertigo and had it for several days, which is going to give me more time to study after I got where I can see like this and I cross my eyes. And I was sitting down and started studying. I just said it out loud. I said, "Devil, you are so dumb. Now I've got more time to look at these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of quotes and scriptures. I can't wait to bring it to you." Oh, hallelujah. Look, friends, it ain't all about me. It ain't all about our church. It ain't all about this great gifted man over here in this great. It's all about Jesus and His bride. Praise God. Let's bow our heads if you would. There may be some under the sound of my voice tonight, in this visible audience, or maybe some that's streamed. And you find yourself being that kind of a Christian, the manual transmission sort of a person. You struggle and struggle. Just everything you do, it seemed like nothing comes easy. And we know we're going to have hardships in life. We know that's part of being a Christian. But friends, there comes rest with being a child of God. There comes a peace with being a child of God. And if you are struggling, you have to struggle through justification. Try to struggle through sanctification. Struggle to get the baptism. You just struggle every way you turn. Maybe you need to change transmissions tonight. And go from you trying to struggle and trying to live right, to letting the Holy Ghost come down and change your gearbox and baptizing you into the body of Christ. Oh, would it eliminate your problems? No. But it'll give you an automatic drive inside of you that'll be there when you feel like quitting. When you're just so nervous and so upset and so tore up and whatever more. But that automatic just keeps going. Praise God. Ours is a 7-speed. And we're at the 7th speed right now. Praise God. How many like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Whatever your need is. Maybe some of you are Christians filled with the Holy Ghost. You just need strength for your journey. Anybody need that tonight? I sure do in life. Absolutely. Let's just pray together, shall we? Oh, search us tonight, Heavenly Father. I trust that example was okay with you, Lord, using that about the transmission part. I hadn't planned on saying that. I trust that was all right to say it that way. Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, oh Jesus, may you endue us with the power from on high. Lord, if there's some here that they struggle and struggle, and I pray you would help them, Father. Dear God, may the Holy Ghost come. It'll change that transmission, as it were, and give them that power to overcome. And then, Lord, give them the understanding to know that they must feed that power with the Word. Must be in fellowship, must be in church, must feed upon the Word. Lord God, to stay strong and built up. Help us tonight, I pray, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, I pray for strength. For those that are sick, I pray for healing. We want to stand here tonight and give you praise, Lord, for moving for our brother Mike Price the other night. Lord Jesus, just to hear him describe the pain he was going through on Wednesday, it was horrible, Lord. You come on the scene. Thank you for doing that, Lord. We see you so move among us, and we want you to know that we are grateful, Father. But Lord, if Brother Mike lives long enough, he might lift up a cinder block, he might move a suitcase, he might do something else, and he might injure himself again some way. But Lord Jesus, we are talking tonight about the greatest miracle. Praise God. That could happen for a mortal to be changed in a moment, to allow the presence of the Almighty God to come down into that soul. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Now, Almighty God, we invite you into your garden.
Sample your dainties, O God. Sample your pleasant fruits. Sample these things which you have produced out of our lives, which we cannot do. O Lord God, come, pick your lilies, eat your honey and your honeycomb. Take the fruits from the trees. Praise God. Oh, blessed Lord God, we worship you tonight, Heavenly Father. May we be fruitful in all four seasons of our lives, oh God. We know when the spring comes as we see it now, the chilly nights, the cool mornings, it hesitates the growth, but life is bursting out of the earth. We know the fruit is in the making. The nuts are in the making. So, Lord, it's in primitive form. So is it with us when we are spring Christians. The coldness of just learning to be saved and to trust you still around our lives. Just learning how to let go. And then we move up into the second stage of the garden. And we begin to learn to warm a little bit. And the nights are less chilly. And we move on and on. Oh, God, we're longing for that fourth stage when harvest will be here. When you'll take us from the earth, Lord God. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing something together, Harry. You love him, saints. So I ask you, where is he? Where is he? My beloved is in his garden. Among the nuts, among the fruits, the spices. The trees are full of leaves. My beloved is setting among all that he has created. And he's looking and seeing and said, it is good. It is good. It is a good work that I've done in his life. It's a good work that I've done in his life and his life and her life. It's a good work. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Let's just raise our hands. Close our eyes if you would. Search my heart, oh God. Search the hearts of these people. See if there's anything in us, Lord, that displeases you. We don't want broken fellowship, Lord. We love you, God. Oh, great Adonai, come in your house tonight, Lord God. You who overshadowed the tabernacle. You who filled Solomon's temple, now fill Solomoness, Shula Smith, which is the feminist form of Solomon. Fill the Shulamites tabernacle with your glory, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Sing it for us, Harry, if you know it. Let's just worship him, children. Now it's not Christ at 33, but it's Christ in bride form. Praise God.
Change my heart, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Make it ever true.
Listen to the words now. Make it ever true.
Oh, change my heart, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
May I be like you.
Once again, sing it with all your heart.
Change my heart, oh God.
Yeah, Lord.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
May I be like
you. Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God.
Amen. Praise God.
May I be like you.
Sing it with all your heart.
You are the potter. I am the what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make me ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. The potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Lord God, oh, change my heart, oh God. Yes, Lord. Oh, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Thank you, Lord. You are the potter. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You are the potter.
Oh, yes, you are, Lord Jesus.
I am the clay.
This is what I pray.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart.
Make it ever true.
Jesus, make me true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
May I be like you.
Once again, before we go, praise God, sing it with all your heart.
Change my heart. My heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Make it ever true. Change my heart. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like. Myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. I give
yes,
myself
Lord.
Away.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I give myself away,
away Lord.
So you
yes,
can
Jesus.
Use me.
Listen,
I give
will.
Myself away. Take my heart. my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Take my life as a living sacrifice.
Offer it to the church.
It's not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own, Lord, to you I belong. I give myself to you. Not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own, to you I belong. Lord, I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. Lord, I give myself to you. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me.
Lord Jesus,
thank you.
You believe what you want to believe. And I'm going to tell you one thing. He's here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Oh, hallelujah.
We fall down. mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
Our God specializes in born again, don't we? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, it takes you drawing on a human heart. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. To make that human heart a manger of your word. Lord Jesus, may you miraculously, supernaturally, right now, Lord God, dealing with her heart, with her life. Oh, hallelujah. May the old man die. May there be a resurrection of a new person. A new person, Lord, inside of her. You, the quickening power to raise her from the dead. Grant it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Come on. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Do me like Jesus, you know he's mine. Y'all get it? Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, you know he's my friend. You know he picks me up. And he told me to run on. He picked me up. And he told me to run on. He picked me up. And he